you can start opening up to the book of Luke. We are in the Gospel of Luke for our Advent series, but then we will also be continuing in Luke for a long, long time, basically until eternity. Not quite that long. But what's going to happen is we have Advent this week and next week. And on the 29th, Pastor John Dirks from Harvest Rockford, our church planting church, will be here. And then starting in January, we'll jump back into the kind of the second section of Luke. And we'll be doing Luke all the way up through Easter. And we'll take a little bit of break through the summer. And then we'll finish up Luke in the fall. But as you're opening up there, we are going to be kicking off in Luke chapter 1, verse 57 is where we're going to be starting this morning. And, you know, last week we ended, we were talking about joy, and we were looking at Mary's song and just her celebration, and as she was looking back and seeing all the things that God has done, and as God had confirmed in her that, or confirmed to her through her kinswoman Elizabeth, that there really was the Messiah, and she was celebrating and rejoicing in that. This week we're picking up at the birth of John with Zechariah. Now, I have Zechariah written down in my notes as Z just because I didn't want to type Zechariah 1,000 times. So if I end up saying Z, it's because that's what's in front of me. I really mean Zechariah. Got me, Martine? You got me? Okay, good. Martine's like, yeah, I can't listen to you anyways. But we're going to pick it up. And so we're getting back into Zechariah's story. And when we left Zechariah a couple weeks ago, he was mute. Like Mike is being right now, mute and deaf. He couldn't hear anything because he had doubted the word of the Lord. And we've gone now 9-ish months because Elizabeth is getting ready. But now we see a much different Zechariah. We see a Zechariah who is ready to follow after the Lord and obey the word of the Lord. Why? Because his faith has been building. He's been able to see this little baby growing in his wife's womb. But not only that, he knows of Jesus and Mary's womb, and he's started to see God's faithfulness, and Zechariah's faithfulness has been growing and growing and growing. And if you're a follower of Jesus, that should be our life. We are faith builders. From the first time in your life when you realize that you are a sinner and you desperately need Jesus, you are saying no to your earthly and fleshly desires and yes to Jesus as being your Savior. You are putting your faith in trust in Jesus. And from that moment, you are building your faith, or your faith is being, God's really building your faith, your faith is being built, kind of like a Lego set. If you go down into my basement right now, in the laundry room, there are Legos that are just like being blown up all over the place because my kids don't take care of the Legos at all. But when they get a new Lego set, they get that new thing, they say yes to it, they're all excited about it, and you get to see them build it slowly and becoming something bigger and bigger and better and better, and that's what happens to our faith. Our faith is being built over the long haul. And the story of the birth of John the Baptist and Zechariah, it kind of gives us some different steps and some different ways that our faith is grown. And so God's faithfulness is what leads us to greater faith. God's faithfulness is what leads us to greater faith. And that's what we see here in chapter 1 of Luke. So let's start in verse 57 and we'll read all the way to the end of chapter 1. It says, "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown a great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But the mother answered, 'No, he shall be called John.' And they said to her, 'None of your relatives is called John, or called by this name.' And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he would be, or what he would be, what he to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, 'His name is John.' And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosened, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid up in their heart saying, "What then will this child be?" For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he raised up the horn of salvation for us, and in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in the spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel." So we pick back up now in the story of Zechariah, and Zechariah shows us several levels where we can be growing our faith. And the first thing that we need to understand is that faith is when we say yes to God's word. Faith is when we say yes to God's word. Now, this word faith, it is thrown around a lot. You know, when something happens in our culture, in our world today, a lot of times people are like, "Well, you just got to have faith, Paul. Melissa, you just got to have faith. If you're going to get through this season, Noah, you just got to have faith." And, you know, it's a good word, and there's meaning to it to some extent. But faith in what? You know, this season you watch a lot of Christmas movies and everybody's putting their faith in the Christmas spirit. They put a little twinkling, you know, or faith in Santa Claus. Charlotte, do you believe in Santa Claus? Is Santa Claus going to bring you anything? Let me know afterwards. We'll talk about it. I want to hear what he's going to bring you. I need to know your list. But, you know, we put our faith in Santa Claus or this time of season or a Christmas song, the greater good, the government. Faith in anything but God himself is useless. And faith, real faith, is when we put that faith in God himself, when we say yes to God. And this is exactly what Zechariah is learning, because we read in the very first part of chapter 1 when the angel showed up to talk to Zechariah and told Zechariah that Elizabeth, who they had been praying for and longing to have a child and been looking forward to having a child and were unable to have a child, when the angel finally showed up, when Gabriel said, "You are going to have a child," Zechariah's like, "How, God?" And we know, because God knows the heart, and because of Gabriel's kind of judgment on Zechariah, where he went mute and deaf, that it was a heart of unbelief. He didn't trust the word of the Lord. Well, when we get to this Zechariah, at the end of chapter 1, he's very different. He is a lot more ready to say yes to the word of God. Look what he does. You know, it picks up and it says Elizabeth came to give birth and she bore a son. Now, I wish that having a child was really that quick, where it's like, and they were ready to give birth and boom, it was there. But it's not that quick. Okay, I'm just going to tell you that right now. It takes a little bit longer than that. But it came and they gave birth to a son, John, and the neighbors and relatives by this time had heard about it. You know, Elizabeth shouldn't have been having a child, but she was. She was too old, but there she was, pregnant. And so they all knew that this child was something special and that it was by the hand of God. And so they were all kind of talking about it and they were all kind of coming around and celebrating. You know, when we first had Jaden. Jaden's birthday is actually on November 11th, but she was due November 4th, whatever. It was the day before Thanksgiving. She was due the day before Thanksgiving. And so we got this bright idea that, hey, we're not going to be able to go anywhere for Thanksgiving because we're supposed to have a child, our first child. Let's have both of our families come to our house for Thanksgiving. Makes sense, right? Like if you're about to have a baby, that's, well, thank goodness she actually came a few days early and then made it a little bit easier. But we had both sets of families at our house for that Thanksgiving and they were all crowding around wanting to see the new baby. And you could just kind of, that's kind of like what it was. All of these neighbors were coming over and all of her family was there and they're all crowded around. You know, Elizabeth wasn't supposed to have a child, but she did. And so it was exciting. And so they were all there talking about it and rejoicing with her. And on the 8th day, they brought the child, John, or he wasn't called John yet, they brought the child to the temple where he was circumcised. Now, circumcision was a symbol of being born into God's family. On the 8th day, you would take your boys to the temple and they would circumcise and saying, this is one of God's children. This is one of God's very own. It was a normal practice. But then it says that when they came to circumcise him, they, the meaning the friends and family that were with them, were all around, and they were calling him Zechariah. The phrase that they wanted to actually really means like at this point, you know, they were probably already calling him Zechariah and referring to him as that name. Now, in the Old Testament, naming them after the dad wasn't a normal thing, so we don't really know why they thought that. But for some reason, they thought that they were going to name this kid Zechariah. And so when they came to Elizabeth and she said, no, he is going to be called John. Why? Well, because of the word of the Lord. Because an angel, Gabriel, had brought a word of the Lord to Zechariah. And so he was going to be called John, but they weren't having it. I don't know if you know this, but when you have a baby, and I only know this because we've had a few, but when you have a baby and you have a lot of people around, especially your own family, for some reason, they think that they have way more influence than they really do. I don't know why, but for some reason, when all your family comes, everybody thinks they know what's best for your child. And they aren't going to be told no. When you say, no, we're actually going to raise our child this way, no. Well, that's what happens when Elizabeth tells them that it's actually going to be called John. They're like, no one's named John in your family. You're not going to do that. Elizabeth, that's just a dumb name. Okay, we didn't want people to judge us. We were naming Jaden. And so we called her Brunhilde until she was born and didn't tell anybody her name. So that when it was Jaden put up to Brunhilde, it was like, oh, that's a way better name. So it's just tips to parents out there. But no, you can keep that in your back pocket. But, you know, so she said, no, we're going to call him John. And they're like, no. So let's go talk to Zechariah. But Zechariah is deaf and mute. And so they go to him and they say, well, what are you going to call him, John? What are you going to call him, Zechariah? What are you going to call him? And they're making hand motions to him. And so he goes and gets this little, it's probably like a wax board that had wax on it that you could write on the wax. And he writes, his name is John. His name is John. Why? Because the Lord of the Lord had already spoken. It wasn't going to be John. It wasn't, we're going to choose this name. It was, no, God told me. The angel Gabriel said, his name is John. And so when John heard it, he declared in that moment, man, it's already given. God's word has already been spoken. And this is where we first see John's kind of heart change. He's no longer questioning the word of the Lord, but even under kind of a little bit of trial and persecution, he says, no. God has spoken. God's word has declared these things, and I'm going to believe it. His name is John. You see, that's what faith is. Faith is saying yes to the word of the Lord. Now, that doesn't, you know, a lot of times we think, well, faith is just believing that something is true. Well, that's part of it. Faith is believing that something is true. You know, faith is believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Faith is believing that we were created by a holy, perfect God. Faith is believing that this really is the Word of God. But that's not just it. Saying yes to it is acknowledging that it is true and submitting our life under that truth. It's the, you know, the dumb analogy. Well, I'm going to get a chair here. I can believe all I want that this chair will hold me, but until I sit down in that chair, my faith really isn't in that chair. Now, I think the analogy is dumb, but it really is true. Faith is when we say yes to the word of the Lord. And we start to see Zechariah, his faith is being built. And this is a great example. And when you go back and you look at, you know, passages like, I'm getting ahead of myself. Don't go there yet. You know, so what I'm talking about here, you know, is we have to get to the place on a regular basis where we say this really is the authoritative thing in my life. More than my job. More than the culture around me, more than the TV shows I watch, more than the dumb football game I'm going to watch later today, more than the influence of people's in my life. This really is God's word to me, and faith is saying I'm going to put myself under God's word. Faith is saying I'm going to really trust in the promises that God has given us more than the anxieties of my life. That means I'm going to believe that the things that God has commanded me to and the things that God has called me to trust in are greater than the things that are going on around me. When we repent of our sin, that is a saying yes to God, a yes to Jesus, and then the rest of our life is a continuation of that. Yes, Lord, you are right. Yes, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Yes, Lord, in this situation, I'm going to put my faith in you. Yes, Lord, this scripture that I'm reading, when it confronts me of my own sin, I'm going to confess it and work hard at growing it. You know, I'm thankful for God's mercy. You know, here it took Zechariah a little while to kind of come around. His first response to God's word wasn't correct. It was incorrect, and that's why he was deaf and mute. But God continued to show his mercy to Zechariah, and to the point where, you know, Zechariah started acting in faith later on. And just like Zechariah, God is continually allowing us opportunity day in and day out to grow our faith, to say yes to the word of the Lord. And if we are going to be faith builders, people who have a great faith, it's because we have a habit of saying yes to God's word. Yes to God's word in our life. But the second thing is that God works in us when we put our faith in God. God works in us when we put our faith in God. Faith is kind of like a, you guys know what conduit is? Is there any conduit? Matt, is there any conduit in here? I should have like tried to find it. Oh, there's some right there. Okay, so that little metal box right there. Okay, you guys see that one up there? That little metal pipe coming, that's called conduit. Okay, come on, electrical engineer, like you should know this, like, right? Yeah, so, and what conduit is, it's a little, the little metal piping that goes from one electrical box to the next electrical box that allows the power cords to go through so power can get from one spot, so from the box to a junction box to an outlet or to a light or to a switch, and it goes through that little conduit. Okay, our faith in God is a conduit for God's power in our life. If we are going to allow God's power to work in us, it comes through faith. And again, Zechariah gives us an example of this. So it says, you know, it says that he said his name is John. His name is John. In the verse 64, it says, and immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosened and he spoke blessing God. And this is verse 65. And a fear came on all the neighbors, and all the, these things were talked about through all the hill. Because, see, all those alls, there's a lot of them in there. Because, you know, Luke's trying to get us to see something. It's spreading. All of these things are happening. John's, you know, his penalty or his judgment, not John, Zechariah. Right? Zechariah, you know, is immediately is healed. He can hear and he can speak again. But not only that, but then all of these neighbors are seeing all of these things, and all of the hill country is seeing all of these things, and all of these people are taking all of this to heart, and they're all starting to see all of these things that God has doing, and God's working. God's moving. God's stirring in people's hearts. Why? Because Zechariah trusted God. He put his faith in God. And when we put our faith in God, that is when God's power starts to move. And immediately his speaking and hearing was restored. And then out of that, there was an awe, a sense of fear, a holy fear, not a fear of like separation, but a fear of honor and respect for God because of this baby coming and because of Zechariah gaining his voice and hearing back. And because, why? Because they trusted God. They believed in God. And so God is working in Zechariah. God is working in Elizabeth. God is working in all of the people around them because when they step out in faith and obey God and say yes to God's word and then God responds, people see that and all they can say is, man, God is working. There's a sense of awe coming. And you see, God works in us most when we put our faith in God. You know, if you look at Hebrews 11, just take some time, you know, even this week or next week, and just go and study Hebrews chapter 11. It's the hall of faith. And time again, they put their faith in God, and they put their faith in God, and they put their faith in God, and great things were done through them because they put their faith in God. I'm going to tell you right now, great things aren't going to be done through you because you have a lot of gifts, or because you have a lot of influence, or because you have a lot of money, or a lot of power, or a lot of this, or a lot of that. Great things are going to be done through you when you trust God to work in you. The greatest good that you and I can do is to be a conduit for God's power to be displayed in our own life and in those around us. But that requires faith, and it doesn't require me thinking. Now, I'll tell you what, when we decided we were going to move up to Milwaukee, and we had been serving in the student ministry at our last church, and it had been doing well, and God was blessing it, and there were a lot of people complimenting me and all these gifts that I had. And so I thought we were going to come up here, and we were going to kill it because of these gifts. I'm a joke. And we came up here, and man, it has been a tough work. And all of these gifts that I thought I had, God has just been kind of plucking away and pulling away and pulling away and humbling me there and humbling me there. Why? Because it's not me. I'm just a pipe. God's power flows through me because of faith. And if we want to see God move in us, if we want to see God move in my own life, if we want to see God move in our families, in our coworkers, in our neighbors, it's going to be because we say yes to the Lord and put our faith in him. In the current situation that you're in, that's extremely difficult. The more that you can cast your anxieties on the Lord, you know what's going to happen? God's going to display his power through you. The more that, you know, you're at work and you're succeeding and doing well and you're able to step back and be humble and give honor to the Lord, God's going to use you because you put your faith in him. The more that, you know, when we tithe, that's a part of this. When we give our tithes and our offerings, that's saying, Lord, I'm giving you some of my money. I normally, you know, I've worked hard for all this money. This is my money. That's what we think, at least. It's not really our money. It's actually God's money. But when we say, you know what, we're going to give our money to the Lord, that's a faith and a trusting. God, I'm going to put my faith in you. When we give of our time and our energy to the service of the Lord, that is putting our trust and our faith in God. When we say yes, Lord, to his, like we were talking about earlier, and submit ourselves under the authority of God's word, even when it goes against everything that our culture is telling us, and we know that we might be ridiculed and mocked and, you know, possibly even ostracized, but we still do it, that's when God starts to work in you. That's when God starts to work through you. That's when we become a conduit for God's glory. God works in us when we put our faith in God. You know, I was in high school. I played football. And the first, like, 2 weeks of football practice was the worst practice of all time. But they would always, my coach would always have these dumb practices where it was like a hitting tackling drill, but it wasn't really to teach you how to tackle. It was basically just so you could get clobbered. And he would set you up so you would just get smoked a bunch of times right in a row because he wanted us to get used to our pads. He wanted us to get used to our helmets and our shoulder pads and, you know, and try to take a hit and realize that, hey, this stuff actually kind of works. And it did most of the time. Not every time, but most of the time. But he wanted you to be able to trust those pads. And so he would do this dumb drill that really would just allow offensive linemen to take all their vengeance out on everybody that's going to get tackled. And me being a little 5'9", you know, 155 pounder, would just get smoked. Why? Because he wanted us to test this. He wanted us to, you know, he wanted us to know that when we got hit, we could withstand it. So in a game, when we were running the ball or playing or tackling ourselves, we would be able to trust this equipment that we had. Well, the same is, that's how God works in us. Why does God want us to trust him before he works in us? Because he wants us to test him. Step on me. Put your faith in me. In this difficult situation, believe that what I'm saying is true so that the next time you take a hit, you can withstand it because you know what I'm saying is true. Because you know my promises. Because you know that I am good. Because you know that I sent my son. Because you know you have eternity waiting for me. And then we can withstand a hit and another hit and another hit. And you know what happens? People are like, man, something's different about that person. Something's different about that person. Yeah, it's God. God is displaying him. God is working in us when we put our faith in God. Three, our faith is grown when we see God's faithfulness. Our faith is grown when we see God's faithfulness. Faith is saying yes to God's word. God works when we put our faith in God. And three, our faith is grown when we see God's faithfulness. Now, faith just doesn't grow out of thin air. Okay, it's not like all of a sudden one day we are just faithful people. Boom, wouldn't it be great, Matt, if we could just like all of a sudden like boom. No, it's not, but it doesn't. We don't grow our own faith. Our faith isn't something that just miraculously appears. But it comes from us seeing God's faithfulness and seeing God's faithfulness. That's what Zechariah gets it after his son is born and he declares it to be, his name is John and that this is a blessing from the Lord and he gets his voice back. The first thing that we hear is a prophecy. It says that Zechariah was filled by the Holy Spirit and prophesied. And the Holy Spirit comes on him and when he prophesies, what he's doing is he's going back and displaying, just like Mary did early on where she was singing her song, her Magnificante. Well, now Zechariah is prophesying. There actually is a catchy word. I didn't write it down. I'm sorry. I failed you guys. You can go back and look it up later. But he goes back and he prophesies. And he says in verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And he raised up the horn of salvation in the house of his servant David. And as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of old. And he's setting them up. He understands. He's prophesying about the coming Messiah right now. And by this time, he knew that Mary had this little baby in her womb. And because he saw God's faithfulness in his own promise to him with his son, John, and he knows that his niece, I don't know what Mary was in relation to Zechariah, but whatever she was, her relative, or his relative was being or having a baby, even though she was a virgin, he knew that this was God. And he knew that this was the Messiah coming. And he starts to declare these things and growing his faith by attaching the promises of the Messiah back to a lot of the promises in the Old Testament. And he says, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And if you go back and start reading all the way back in Genesis 15 or 12 and 15 and follow the story of Abraham and the story of God's plan of redemption, and you get to the nation of Israel and you get to King David and you get to all these other kings, you know what you see? You see a bunch of people who don't deserve God, who God shows up and puts himself as a part of their community. And they love God for it, and they celebrate God as he does good things, and then they tank. And then God redeems them. And they love God for it, and then they tank. And then God redeems them, and then they love God for it, and then they tank. And you just see this whole thousands and thousands of years. Why? Because God visited and redeemed his people. And every time, even when I've been reading the Old Testament prophets, even when God was sending his people into captivity because of their own sin, he always ended it with a promise. He always ended it saying, and I will come back and save you. And the ultimate fulfillment of this is in the person of Jesus Christ. When God himself, not just a pillar of smoke or a cloud of fire, not just a temple or a judgment seat, not just the Holy of Holies, but the very person of God in the form of a baby was coming to be born. When God emptied himself and entered Mary's womb. When he visited and redeemed his people. This is the horn of salvation, okay, A horn was a mighty thing on animals that would protect them. He's talking about a mighty savior, the horn of salvation, a mighty savior. From the house of the servant David. Again, he's attaching this back to the Old Testament. And you know, God told David that he would always have a king on the throne forever. You know what he's talking about? Jesus. Jesus. And Zechariah understands that this is a fulfillment of that. God, you have promised this to David and all of David's children and David's children's children up until the point of Jesus. You know where Jesus came from, the line? David. David. And then it says in verse 70, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from the old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hated us. To show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember the holy covenant, the oaths that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we being delivered from the hand of our enemies. Okay, and Zechariah is prophesying and reminding the people, hey, listen up, God has always delivered us from the hand of our enemies. And God has always promised to do so. And if you look at Israel, it's surrounded by a bunch of other countries that hate it. It always has. It's always been at war. It's always been fighting. But God has always delivered it. And he's always promised to deliver it. But ultimately, that deliverance isn't just a physical deliverance. It's not just a land. I very much believe in a realistic Israel. And I believe that, you know, there really was a guy named Moses who led the people out of Egypt, and there really was a guy named Joshua, and I believe there really was a King David, and I believe all of those stories in the Old Testament are true and literal, but I also believe that they're all a picture of something greater, a spiritual battle, not just a physical battle, because our ultimate battle isn't against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities of Satan. Sin and death. And God, when he promises Israel all of these things, their ultimate fulfillment isn't in just a physical land, but is in the very presence of God for all of eternity. And so when God promised that David would always have a king on the throne, it was in eternity with Jesus. When God promises to remove them from all of their enemies and to save them, it's not just to take them and wipe out their enemies, it's to take them and bring them into the community of God himself. And what Zechariah is doing is saying, listen, God promised this and he was faithful. God promised this and he was faithful. God promised this and he was faithful. And this baby that's coming, this baby Jesus, is a fulfillment of all of those things. And when we put our faith in God, it's not just a random act of faith. We can look back and see all of these promises. And you and I, we're even a step farther down the road than Zechariah was. You and I know that Jesus already came and died on the cross on our behalf and that he is reigning on his throne and he's waiting for his second coming. And so when we put our faith in God, we're in a God who sent a son to die on my behalf. And so it's not just random faith. But we can see God's steadfast faith time and time again. If we're to be faith builders, we need to understand that our faith isn't just grown because we're strong people. No, it's because we see God's faithfulness. Our faith is grown because we see God at work. I'll tell you about this summer. It was a long summer for me. And a lot of things going on in my family back home and just stuff at church. And just it was a difficult season. I was growing a lot. And you know, there were a lot of times when I just felt like God has kind of left me a little bit. And it's like, God, you know, this everything just felt like it was insurmountable and it was really difficult. And I know all of you have probably been in a season like that to some extent, where you just felt like, you know, God wasn't watching you. This was extremely difficult. God doesn't have a hand on this. You know, this is all just going to fall apart. And I read through, I do the Bible. I do the Bible in a year, probably every other year or so. And so it forces me to read some of those a little bit more difficult Old Testament books, which is good. It's a good thing. But I was reading through that, and I was reading through some of the prophets. I was reading through Isaiah and Jeremiah. And you know, normally those are tougher books to get through. But you know what I was reading about? God moving this nation here and that nation there, and God redeeming his people from this nation, or God sending this nation to punish his people here. You know, God doing this way down the road, or God has done this. And they're all about God not just moving a person, not just moving a city, not just moving a state, but moving whole governments and whole sections of the world at any given time. And I remember one morning I was just reading and I just broke. It's like, God, you control every nation. You control every time and every place. And you are in control of our nation here, and you are in control of our country. But God, you are also in control of me and my own little needs. Jesse, pull your head out of the sand and see God's faithfulness and God's power. Sometimes we need to go back and be reminded of those things. Because my faith isn't grown in my own dumb works. My faith is grown in God's steadfast faith. And we see it time and time again. So if you are one of those seasons, if you are walking through a trial or tribulation, don't just make your faith stronger. Go look at God's faithfulness. Remember God's faithfulness. And allow that to make your faith stronger. And lastly, I got to wrap this up pretty quick, so I'm running out of time. But faith allows us to trust in the promise of Jesus. Faith allows us to trust in the promise of Jesus. Look how Zechariah ends this off. I'm going to start back in verse 74. It says that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You see, we're not just putting our faith in the things that God has done. We're not just looking back and saying, all right, God, you are faithful. I'm going to hold on to that. But God has also given us promises of what's yet to come. God's also given us promises that he's going to get us through every situation. God's also given us promises that if you are a follower of Jesus, if you believed in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he is going to help you remain faithful until the end. Well, you will celebrate with God in heaven around the marriage supper of the Lamb. I can't wait for that feast. And you know what helps get us through the difficult times of this life? Is believing in the promises of Jesus. Believing in the promises that are going to come. And when we allow our faith to be built, when we are faith builders and see God's faithfulness, it doesn't just leave us believing in the things of the past, but allows us to have faith in the future. Because I'll tell you what, this life is broken. The older I get, the more difficult this life gets. The less I long for the things of this world, the less I just a lot of times feel lost. You know, the only thing out of that is God himself. God saying, listen up, this is what I have for you, Jesse. Be faithful. be faithful. That's what Zechariah is getting at here when he closes. He says, you know, that God is saving us, delivering us from the hands of our enemies so that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. Because, you know, when God removes the things that we fear, when God removes the fear of death, when God removes the fear of being ostracized, when God removes the fear of being left alone, when God removes the fear of what comes after, and he says, listen, I'm here for you. I've sent my son on your behalf. We can give of this life freely. We can serve God in holiness and righteousness because we are living for what's coming, not for what's here. And when this life lets us down and the things that we thought were going to meet our expectations don't, we can let it go because what's coming is going to be better. That's what leads Zechariah to be able then to prophesy over his child. His you child will be called the prophet of the Most High. His child isn't even 8 days old yet, or barely 8 days old. And he's already telling the child what you're going to be. You're going to be a child of the Most High. A prophet of the Most High, and you are going to lead God's people into redemption. You're going to tell people about their need of Jesus. Why? Because Zechariah has seen God's faithfulness. Zechariah has seen God be faithful in the Old Testament. He's seen God be faithful when he promised him a child, and now when that child is looking back at him, Zechariah is able to trust in the things that God has told him or that they're going to be coming. John, God has told me you are going to be this child, and I believe it. I know that it's coming. You are going to lead people to seeing the goodness of Jesus. You're going to lead the way to the tenderness or tender mercy of our Lord God. And here in verse 78, he compares Jesus to a sunrise. This is whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. The sunrise that comes up every day. Every morning the sun rises. Every morning the sun shines its light on the darkness and removes the darkness and brings these new mercies every morning. It says that it shines on us high to give light to those who sit in darkness. Let me tell you what, man. There are so many moments in this life, seasons, days, weeks, months, years, when we feel like we live in darkness. Whether it's from a family situation, whether it's from just a difficulty at work, whether it's from past wounds or future things that are coming up, you know. But most of us can look back and be like, yeah, I've been there. And you know what? It's going to come again. It's going to come again. Because this world is still influenced by sin. But you know what? God's sun will shine. This is a promise that John the Baptist is going to make, and a promise that Zechariah is making in this prophecy. And this is a promise that you and I still hold to today, that when the darkest times come, we believe that Jesus is still shining bright and that we can still put our faith in Jesus. And in those moments where it's like, God, what are you doing? I can still say, God, you are good. Why? Because I know what's coming. I know ultimately when Jesus comes back, when that second advent comes, eternity's waiting. Heaven's glorious gates are going to be there. The death that once, you know, made us submit, all of us under the death and the fear that comes from sin, will no longer be there. And Jesus will be shining brightly, and every tear and every pain and every sorrow is going to be wiped away, and every desire is going to be filled. Everything that we've ever wanted is going to come to fruition in the person of Jesus in heaven. And it's never going to end. The greatest longings. And you want to know what? It's faith in Jesus that gets us to that point. When we're living in this life and saying, God, this is difficult and dark, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my faith in you. I'm going to allow you to continue to build it in me and guide my feet to the way of peace. Even though the world around me might be in utter chaos, your path is peace because I know what's coming. Heaven. The second advent. So in closing this morning, I just want to encourage you, be a faith builder. Be a faith builder. If we're going to have certain faith, a faith that moves in us and grows in us, be a faith builder. Say yes to the word of God. And understand when we do say yes to the word of God, when we put our faith in God, it's a conduit for God to work. If you've been longing for God to work in you, step out in faith. Go do something that you know God's calling you to. Step out in faith and giving regular amounts of time to God's word in your life. Step out in faith by sharing your faith with a coworker or a neighbor that you know that God has called you to be doing. Step out in faith and care for somebody that God knows that that God has been calling you to care for, but you don't want to because you don't want to empty the messiness of that life. Step out in faith. Step out in faith by saying yes, Lord, to obeying his scripture when the rest of the world is fighting against it, and allow God's power to move. And allow your faith to be filled or be built by you looking back and seeing God's faithfulness in God's word and in your life before, and just seeing God has been fruitful and faithful. God's been fruitful and faithful. God's been fruitful and faithful. God, my faith is not in my own, but in you, Lord. And allow it to lead you to a place where you say, God, I'm trusting in your faithful promises. I'm trusting in your faithful promises. Let's pray. God, we come before you this morning again. And Lord, we thank you for the certain faith that we do have. And God, we thank you for Zechariah and just, God, how you worked in him and how you brought him from one place to the next place. And God, that his faith was able to grow. And Lord, I pray that that would be true in us and in our church this morning. God, I pray that we would be able to put our faith in you, God, and that you would be able to grow us and make us fruitful. And God, put a longing in our heart for heaven because of faith. And God, I pray, I know, Lord, there are people even sitting in here this morning, Lord, who feel like they're in that dark place. God, that place of death that Zechariah was talking about, that they're desperately longing for the sunrise of Jesus to shine on them. God, they're longing, God, to be filled. And Lord, I pray that they would be able to put their faith and trust in you, Lord, that they would be able to allow themselves to let go of whatever's going on and cling to the person of Jesus, because that's the only thing, Lord, that's going to get them through that moment. And God, I pray for a bunch of people in this church who are rock solid in their faith because we are continually pressing into you. God, because we're faith builders. And Lord, I pray that even this week we would be able to come back and talk about the ways that we stepped out in faith and shared our faith with our family and shared our faith with our coworkers. And God, we pray that we would be able to trust you and say yes to your word. And God, again, we thank you for an Advent season. God, we thank you for a time where we can just take a break and look back on the things that you have done and allow it to create a longing for what's coming, Lord. Build our faith in Jesus' name.